Morning, everybody. Welcome to the Daily Digest with Jimmy Disu. And today is Thursday. And we are lucky enough to be able to do what I promised, and that would be for Ask Jimmy. You know, it's something that I had introduced. And we'll be, so rather than have open mic, you're free to ask me any question. Now, I want you to know that, because I remember the last time I did this, somebody, I was asked something, and I said I didn't know, and the gentleman just went into an opera. I'm not... it's only God that knows everything. So if you ask, and I say that I don't know, I don't want you to take it otherwise. If I don't know, I don't know. I'm not one of those who come to public and talk about things. You see, even when I do my analysis, if it's a legal thing, I'll tell you, the lawyers can handle this. If it's economic, I say the economists can handle this. So it's a kind of open mic, but what it just means is that I'll be reacting rather than people just phoning in. I'll be reacting per... So we're going to do it like this. When you call in, you have 1 minute, and I will spend 1 minute or 2 minutes. This is the time for nepotism. Since it's my show, I can take 2 minutes. You take one. Morning, Risi. How are you? You look quite well. You look dandy.
Thank you, Okijimi. Morning. You look fine yourself, too.
It is a lie. I don't have any money to give. The month has ended.
No, I like the shirt.
Do you want it? You can have it.
Glamour or lolly? What will you wear home?
I'll wear your blouse.
It will. All right.
Okay, so you will open up our line 0700-993-993-993 and 0146-57190. So it's like I said, it's a kind of open mic. And let's be fair to people, so don't spend time. This is a very serious, I intend to take this program quite serious. A bit of banter in between, but it's not a time for fun, you know. This is serious business. Because we need to get reactions of people to certain issues. And so it's a serious business. Don't just call me to crack up with me. That is not the mood we are in today. And let's keep to the 1 minute time so that we can allow so many people calling. At least it's the least we can do in Nigeria. If we can't, if things are so tough, at least let us express ourselves. I don't mean let us vent. Or like my good friend Gawad said, let us para. No, we're not going to fire. So I'll take the first call for today. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Uncle Jimmy.
Yes, sir, Pastor Ladipo.
This is Pastor Ladipo, fellow from Lagos. Uncle Jimmy, my question this morning.
Yes.
Is that how long does it take for INEC to organize a by-election? For example, now, we had the former speaker who has now joined the executive.
Yes.
We have the former senator, because I call them former, they are no longer there.
Yes.
The former governor of, what is his name? Ebonyi State, that has now become part of the executive, a minister. And their positions are still vacant in their constituency.
Mm-hmm.
So how long does it take for INEC to conduct a by-election in those constituencies to fill those places? Thank you.
Okay, all right. I don't know if there's any specifics as to how long it takes to conduct a by-election, because don't forget, it would have been a surprise to them, just like it was to us. I mean, so you already had somebody who was in reps, and then got, appointed the chief of staff. And so we don't know what time he formally wrote INEC. It's quite, government things usually take some paperwork and do take some time. But there's been campaigning, at least in Sulere, my constituency, where Gbaja, and the same would apply to the other gentleman, he said, in my constituency, I've seen people campaigning. So I think it will happen anytime from now. But I think that is at the front burner of, that's at the back burner of the political problems that face us today. You know, we have, this country is on heat at the moment politically, socially, economically, is on serious heat. So they'll take their time, and I'm sure it will be done within the speculated time. I honestly don't know. Okay, another. Let's take another one. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Morning.
Good morning, Mr. You know, you're doing a wonderful job.
Thank you.
Yeah, I am Michael calling from Ikoto.
Yes.
I just simply want to ask, why is it difficult for Africans to rule themselves?
You want to ask why is it difficult for
Africans to rule themselves?
To rule themselves?
Why is it difficult for democracy to work in Nigeria?
Okay, that's good. Thank you very much. The first part of my answer is this. This whole thing is a bit alien to us. It's like when you want to wear borrowed clothes, no matter how nice it is, you feel uncomfortable when you're in them. I don't know if it happens to you. And so it's alien to us. And we had a social revolution around 85, where the real politicians who practice democracy know about it. In spite of their fallings at that time, in spite of their failures, were taken over by the military. So by the time the military got back, right about 85, they brought their friends, they brought their contractors, they brought brought all kinds of people, because we will not take our eyes off the ball to the fact that quite a number of our politicians, quote and unquote, are people of interest, if you know what that means. You know, quite a lot. So these were the ones, the contractors, everybody was afraid that time, the real politicians were afraid, and then these so-called people of interest now stepped in, and you can see where we are today. And that's what it's like almost top to bottom. You know, I mean, you have a political class where people lie about their age, lie about their schools, lie. He did youth corps, he didn't do youth corps, he went to this school, he didn't go to that school. That immediately tells you the pedigree of most of these people. And then we are crime tolerant. Because we have a lot of people of questionable character. He cheated when he was, he stole this money, he cheated. He stole money here, he was forgiven, and all these kind of things. You have, you know, quite a large number of people of questionable character playing the leading role. So that's what it is. And of course, there's a cultural side of things where one of our biggest problems is that the African man just lacks identity. But that is changing now. I mean, you can see what happens in other African countries, what the French are doing, and so on and so forth. It just defies common sense. You know, so most of these people of questionable character, when they grab power for themselves. And in a situation where, when it's time to cast a vote, you're ready to work. You see, it's a game plan. They impoverish you and then give you money and then they stay in power. The next election we are going to have, you will see what will happen. The rate at which we are going. People will be running to politicians, just give me this money, I will vote for you. It will be the other way around. But we hope someday somebody will break the cycle. That is our hope. If there's been an attempt to break cycles in other countries, we hope that somebody will break this cycle. Now, I'm not referring to change of government or anything. Just a new culture. Just a new culture. The other day I was listening to one of the, I think the guy who might be the next president of Senegal. It was a delight to hear him speak. It was a delight. Extremely intelligent. Look at the president of Kenya. You know, these, at least from their rhetoric alone and what looks like sincerity of purpose, you know that they want to lead their country somewhere. Surely, God will provide such a person for us in this country. Do I hear an amen? Omodikines, you didn't say amen.
I said amen, though.
Who is seeing you that waving your hand?
Amen. Amen.
You have gone to night vigil, gone to this and that. Your voice is gone. Your voice is gone completely.
Amen.
Okay, let's pick another one. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, good morning.
Uncle Jimmy, good morning, sir.
Morning, Chris. How are you?
Fine, sir. My open mic. INEC this morning in the news complaining about insecurity during the election of Edo and Ondo State, right?
Mm.
Uncle Jimmy, with what happened on February 25th and March, the tribunal did not see all the wrongdoing in that election. Did you see anything wrong about that? With Uncle Jimmy, over 10 people died for this election. And the court, the judges did not see anything wrong. So INEC, I said it, as far as they scale through with this, it has come to stay. Uncle Jimmy, your prayer, I pray, make we live long to see when those good set of people with good conscience will rule this country. Thank you, Uncle Jimmy.
Yeah, there's always time for a miracle. At least that's what we're told in church. But, on a serious note, I don't particularly blame the judges. Rather, we should be blaming those who set up these laws to create openings for themselves. That's what it is. Because what we are told is that judges, take their decisions based on what is presented before them. What I've been told is that if you're driving in front in traffic, you run a kid down deliberately, and the judge is driving behind you, and the case comes to him, he can't say in court that he saw what you were doing. That's the way it goes. So I think that it was those who put these things together in the very first instance have kept so many loopholes it's almost becoming a farce. If I have no longer pay attention to anything tribunal, legal, because the laws in the first instance, like you rightly said, Chris, it's not the judge's job to go find out who killed what. We should have had a body, an independent electoral body, maybe comprised of the three forces and maybe a magistrate or a judge, who would have, just like we have the EFCC for economic crimes, we should have had a body for political crimes. So whilst they are going to talk about cheating and whatever at the tribunal, the one for political crimes would have grabbed you immediately. Look at the crisis that happened. If there's a fraud in a bank now, you immediately call in the EFCC. Maybe we should have that kind of system that says that immediately during and after elections, there's an agency that claims to be independent. I don't know how we're going to do that. Maybe we'll import we'll tell the Vatican to give us the man to head the agency. Or we have to go to Saudi Arabia to give us. Who would have moved in immediately after the Lagos crisis and would have the power to prosecute anybody, including the traditional rulers who are doing Oro and all this intimidation? Maybe if we had something like that. But we won't have. We won't have. That's why I don't join in the argument we should have a single assembly and so on and so forth. Who is going to sit down and rule over that? It's the people that will be affected. So it's a very frustrating thing to live in this country, I must tell you. But live, we must live. So invariably, what is going to happen is, I don't think you'll see me around the next elections. I'll probably go on vacation. It's such a frustrating, you just feel like a castrated bull, taking for the mating season and you've been castrated. What can you do? Do you get my example? Because you were looking at me pitifully. I didn't say I was castrated.
I just thought it was a little too...
Hello, good morning.
Good afternoon from here, Uncle Jimmy. My own time is good afternoon.
Oh, Jakarta.
Yeah.
How are you?
Uncle Jimmy, so I'm good, sir. So last week you had a guest and I enjoyed your conversation and chat. You guys were talking about Fela Kuti and the whole stuff. I think Fela Liberation. And I'm also a Fela fan. That was on Saturday, yeah.
Mm.
And I'm also a Fela fan. And I really appreciate each time you make reference to him. But a question popped up in my head and I was like, the man talked a lot about a lot of issues, about a lot of issues that are still prevalent still today. Mm-hmm. He even proffered solutions. So my question is, what happened that time, you guys' time? Was it that, was he cancelled in mm-hmm. a way? Or was it tagged so that people will not listen to him? Oh, this man is not, you know, a responsible man, and don't pay attention to the, you know, messages he's trying to pass. Or was it that you guys, the people did not want to listen to him, and maybe things were much more better that time, and they didn't want to, like, pay attention to the major things that he was talking about? Because, yes, you might say, what about us now? That's, you know, my generation that is much more younger. Why didn't we take the message? But like you said, then it was a boil. Now it's a cancer.
Yeah.
If you guys have done it, you know, by now we'll be here. That was just my question. What happened to that time?
I'll tell you. First of all, of course, all of you know it's the Federation period, so we're in a kind of jubilant mood on that. One of the people who made me today, believe you me, is Fela Kuti. And if you at that time, Fela was seen as a rebel who couldn't do anything right. A lot of people were comfortable, relatively, so they didn't see the need for all the things he was saying. I look at it, I look at some of the ironies. Some of the people way back then that were pointing fingers at him, look at the children they've left behind and look at Fela's children that they've left that he's left behind, and just sit back and compare. You know, you'd be proud to have any of Fela's children as your children. I'm saying that, including his grandson. So what happened? People, you know, first of all, life was a bit comfortable. And then, of course, people were looking at him instead of listening to him. You know, and that was also because, you see, when in our own time, people just, apart from those who listen to jazz, generally music must have a message. So people were more interested in dancing Miliki and enjoying themselves with Sonny and other musicians like that. The high life musicians too will talk about, oh, he stole my man, he stole my wife. He didn't, had all these social things. Fela was one of the very few people whose music had a message. As young as I was then, with the likes of Dubi, Mevory and Co., we had seen it. Wole Soyinka was a very strong influence. I was a member of the Pirates Confraternity, and I know what we did at that time. You know, but people didn't see all that. I'm going to repeat for the umpteenth time, for anybody who hasn't heard, that the Pirates Confraternity was largely, of course, Wole Soyinka was, and he involved us, for what you now see today as FRSC. Because I attended a convention in 77 or 78, I think it was in Benin, and this issue. In fact, it was Wole Soyinka that started, you know, I think it was voluntary then, with Bola Oyeledun, Deji Sasegbon, you know, Chuck Mike, you know, doing the Ibadan Ife, just to, voluntarily, just to stop deaths. And then Bola Ige invited him, and the rest is history. So it was no surprise that Wole Soyinka was then made the first whatever. If you notice, I don't know what it is now that there's so much hunger. For a very long time, you'd hardly find FRLC people arrest you and collect money. And that was because majority of the initial heads, the departmental heads, were all members of the confrat who had those principles. They wouldn't take money. They wouldn't. In fact, what they would do is, if you are caught around the Woroshoki, they would not make you go and pay in Shagamu. So that would be your punishment. And so people, like I said, life was easy, and people took their eyes off the ball. We saw it very quickly. I was a follower of Ganifa Wemitu way back then. You know, we had very strong student union leaders, Okewo, but we all looked at as rascals. Okay, we all looked at as rascals and rebels. Okay, so see where we are now. We were absolutely right. I remember those days I used to write columns in the Vanguard. I used to write columns, and once in a while, an elderly, like Chief Shobo Shremo, would tell me, Ajimi Rorao. My late father-in-law then, Alaba Johnson, also would call me. Just take it easy. Take it easy. But see where we are today. And so Nigeria, should we shot ourselves in the foot? we didn't catch on very early, like you said, my friend in Indonesia. We didn't catch up quite early enough and see where it has landed us. Some of us are still at it. I can't do otherwise. That's the way I'm wired. I'm glad. Initially, when I started this, because I started doing this in retirement. How can't you see the irony? And people thought, oh, he was looking for a position, and I just laughed at them. Second base, Jerry. Oh, yeah. Do we have time for one more? We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll continue, okay? Yes, welcome back to the Daily Digest with Jimmy Disu. And I want to do a shout-out for one of my people in Benin, who listen, you know, every day, all the way in Benin. I know the man in Indonesia, no vexed. there's Kemi Ajayi, and there's my good friend Omasa. I hope he gets to get this message to Omasa, you know, and Kemi Ajayi and all of them in Benin there. Just to give a shout-out to them. Right. So let's pick the next one, please. Hello, morning.
Hello, good morning.
Morning.
My name is Kingsley.
Yeah.
Okujimi, I'm very worried because the next election that would happen,
yes.
I don't know how it's going to be, because if anything that people are doing today, they don't think about future. Couldn't be. You don't think that if there is next election, there will be violence that so that people would like to grab and run with it. And I'm afraid of Jimmy.
Okay, let me predict what will happen. There are two things that are likely to happen anyway. The first is that if we continue along this trajectory, and people will be calling for change from deep within them. It will be a call with hunger and more determination. And I hope that's what it is. On the other hand, I hope it doesn't bring about apathy. You know, because in this it's not so much the way the result turned out. I hope people would understand that. I heard somebody accusing me the other day that I'm unobedient. I made myself very, very clear that last election, but I didn't support the aspiration of the current president, and I have no regrets I have no regrets for taking that position. The journalism has gone beyond. You will be fair, yes, but sometimes when your country is up to it, when your country is going through, because Buhari's government. The results weren't too pleasant. So when your country is going through something like that and, you know, you shape public opinion, you can at least show some direction. And I didn't believe that was the best place to go. And I still don't believe so. I mean, so it's not a matter of some infantile thing that he hates him, he does this. No, there were parameters that we saw. And wait and see what's going to unfold eventually. The parameters and things that we saw that made us say that Nigeria could, for example, at the primaries in my heart, I just wished that somebody like Oshibajo would get the APC ticket. And somehow I believe that given his calm and his calm disposition and exposure, you know, he probably would have done a better job of what we have now. Because the truth must be told. Whether anybody likes it or not, the truth just must be told. So, because you ask yourself questions, where are we at home? Where are we abroad? Where is Nigeria on the world map? And the recent United Nations annual meeting that took place, if you are somebody who is very, very discerning, should give you an idea of where we are. This is not a matter of patriotism or whatever. It's reality. I don't owe anybody loyalty. I owe my country loyalty and my people. And I stand by that, you know. So essentially, I just hope that you know, maybe by the next election, a few things would have been corrected. Definitely, we need to correct our electoral laws. I mean, come on. How can we say in a country like Nigeria that, oh, if you have school cert, minimum of school cert, you can come and run the country. We need to have stringent whatever, because democracy is not about just free and fair to all. It's not just free to all, but also you must have parameters. If a man cannot run a simple multinational, why would you want to give him a country to run? Look at presidents. You look at presidents at the United Nations. You heard some presidents speak, and I leave you to judgment. Those who you thought spoke well, or those who were struggling to even put their ideas forward, and you could see the audience reaction. Not to talk of a lot of hyping and whatever that we got from there. That turned out to be, So I'm hoping that maybe that hunger would push people to say that. And I'm hoping that we do need electoral reforms. We can't continue with what we have now. We are not talking of the Constitution. We are talking of electoral reforms. And we need tighter laws for INEC. We do need that. Well, that's a story for another day. I'll take the next turn. Hello, good morning.
Hello.
Yeah, morning.
Uncle Jimmy, good morning.
Morning.
Thank you. God bless you, sir.
Yes.
This market woman.
Yeah.
My question this morning starts. Why we Nigeria, we know they live.
Yeah.
From what is going on since all these years. You know, I love Fela so much that no weekend I will not go to Shrine.
Yeah.
No weekend I will not go there because of that truth. And because of that truth, he has been speaking for all those years. That is why when I see those set of people in that corridor of our this thing, I refuse to vote for any one of them. Because what he said, it was truth. Why can't we learn till today? Okay, if you collect something from this politician, how long will it take for all those things to finish? That you will not think about your children, you will not think about others. You will just want your country to go down. How long, sir, these people will continue to put this country like this? Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. That was a comment, really. So I agree with almost everything that you have said. So I can move on to the next one. Hello, good morning. Morning. Hello.
Good morning.
Morning, how are you?
Fine, thank you. This is Godon Dupe from Sabo-Yava.
Yes.
I just watch don't you think, looking at what happened on the last election, don't you think people will be, the youth and the general public will be very, very lackadaisical, both in Lagos and other places, will be very, very lackadaisical in coming out to vote? Because they may say, whether you vote or not, your local government must be there, your chairman must be there, your governor must be there, your president must be there, whether you like it or not. After voting, they will just pick any person they like.
Mm.
You understand? Don't you think like that? And what, where I would go in this country?
Okay, thank you. I didn't quite understand what you were trying to say. But what I do know is that the death of what's this gentleman? Mobad. Death of
Mobad.
Mobad. Yes, the death of Mobad has opened my eyes to something else, and that is called youth power, which the government should not test. If the government, unfortunately, you can't advise politicians. They always tell you that, oh, you are not a politician, you don't know. And people around them who do know. I've been around politicians before, so I know the kind of vibes. You are always negative. You don't know anything. You are not a politician. We are the one who's close to the. You say you are close to the grassroots, And these people always come for a loaf of bread. They don't. They hardly ever come on their own. These are people that you buy anytime you want to have a rally. You pay money to come, and you say you are close to the grassroots. But anybody that has a reading of the political situation in our country would have learned a lesson from what you saw in when this gentleman died and the response that you got. What it shows, and I hope it doesn't happen, what it shows is that the youth without prodding can decide certain things impulsively. I was praying, for example, when they were having all these walks and so on and so forth, mass of people, that nobody died from any police bullet or anything. It would have been a different situation we are talking about. Remember that the Arab Spring started from somebody who, out of frustration, burnt himself. The rest is history. So we need to be careful. We tell these people, we keep telling them over and over again, and they think that they can continue to ride roughshod over the rest of the country because they are in charge. One day, Monkey go market and I will come back. That's all I say. Hello.
Hello, Kajimi. This is good morning.
Morning.
Yes, I'm not talking about election now. What I really need, Mahmood has played me while you. Yes, I don't know about it. He has played me while you. And he made me to trek. And he declared the election for the pocket. And he has played me while you. And Jimmy, this I've been following his track from the days of your former station. Now, I'm going to pray for you this morning because you are standing for the truth. Now, I thought you are a brother to Buhari before, but you are standing for God. Bless you, sir.
I'm not a full animal. How can I be his brother?
No, I thought you take this where your is it what is the name of this envelope? Where what I read envelope? You didn't collect anything. God will bless you. I'm going to explain me why you.
Come on for road. Well, I don't blame you. You remember the railway people who came here, we want 10,000 naira. I don't blame you because, to be honest with you, just like in every other profession too, some of our colleagues, they don't follow our hand. And you can. The funny thing about the media is, if you are discerning, you will see it. If a man has been compromised, you will see it. You don't need to go far. You will see it. Man has been compromised. Yes, I supported Buhari initially because I got a wrong reading. And I must say, I got a wrong reading. I thought it was the Buhari of 94. Was it 94? Buhari of 84, rather. Buhari was my hero in 84 when he came in. But apparently, everything now shows that it's most likely that Idi Agbon was the man who was driving the trailer and not Buhari. Yes, initially I supported him heavily. I'm not afraid to take a position. And if he's gone wrong, I'm not afraid to admit. I admit that following Buhari or, making him your hero was the wrongest thing you could ever do. It was 8 years of nothing. Nepotism, name it. And this road we are going now, if care is not taken, if it ever gets to 4 years initially, it might end up being 4 years of nothing. Because it's not a matter of it's not my portion, we should look up to God. I'm not looking up to God. God has created me. I pray for him, for his guidance. But we are doing the wrong things. One of the reasons why people have to keep going to church and this is because they don't have sincerity of purpose. They don't have. I had somebody yesterday. Now it's a good time for me to comment. She said, I used to do traditional law, but now I'm going to church because church teaches you how to forgive. It's a lie. Let me tell you what it is. People run away from traditional religions mainly because it is unforgiving and because, but you would have been warned. When they tell you, don't put your leg here, if you put it, but we like to go to a place where they say all is forgiven. Somebody has died for your sins, and you continue to commit that sin. Don't try me this morning, no. We need to do some deep thinking. If we had, I'm just saying, of course, we don't have one traditional religion. We have many. But if we are stuck to our old religions where you come to the open square and swear in front of Amadioha or any other whatever to say, this job that I'm going to do, I'm not going to chop money inside. But this one that you chop money first, you take the money, go build cathedral. You take the rest. I read one woman in, was it Zimbabwe or so? She works in an airport. She stole X amount in millions of dollars. She found it. Then the first thing she did was to pay tithes on what she stole. Thinking, I don't even know if our people understand who or what God is. I don't think we'll ever stop. A lot of those who preach themselves don't know what they're saying. I'm sorry to say. Because you need to sit down and think. I'm a Christian, no? Don't say I'm a Christian. I'm deeper than most people think, because going to church doesn't make you a complete Christian. And if God didn't want me to think, he won't give me this brain. So let's get that very, very clear. I'm a Christian and I come from a Muslim family. So I'm totally, and some of my best friends are traditional worshippers. And I find them more sincere than some of my other friends. We need to open up our eyes and tell us, for as long as we all live in deceit, and we close our eyes to the truth, we are not going anywhere. Is there anything I have not said? Answer now. Talk to the mic. I'm a dickiness.
You said everything.
Do you agree with me?
Yes, completely.
Completely.
I say it.
Good girl. I'll buy you lunch. Is boiling
well? No,
I don't.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, good morning.
Hello, Kujimi, good morning.
Morning.
Kujimi, my name is George. I'm calling from Lagos Island.
Yes.
Kujimi, my take this morning, I don't know this morning, you heard that one of the newspapers say gas is going to be 1,000 Naira, 1,005, if time did not take, I think, from 9th January or December. Hello?
You said that gas is what?
No, I say one of the newspapers this morning, but you people, yes, you and Sheriff did not go there, that if time did not take, that we in Nigeria will buy gas at the rate of 1,005. So the thing is giving me concern the way things are going up this in Nigeria today.
Okay.
Everything is going up. So yes, my concern is that, hello?
I'm listening to you.
My concern is that, is it the driver that's driving the motor doesn't know the road? Does it mean that the motor is not good? Thank you and God bless you.
Oh, no, it's not. Well, the motor is okay. Now, Tokumbo is small, but it's okay, you know, everything there. But I think he's using the wrong Google Maps. we are supposed to go, we're going to Benin, but he's going to Republic do Benin. So we don't almost reach Ajashe now. So we are headed in the wrong direction. And you can see, we cannot run away from the fact that a lot of things are being done impulsively. There is no clear plan as we speak. There is no clear plan that every day is bad news. You know, your rate is skyrocketing. At some point, you can't do some international trade. At a time when you should be building your home base, you are concentrating on bringing foreign investment. I don't know where that fixation came from. And in trying to bring foreign investment, you are doing everything, all things possible, to make it easy for them but difficult for your people. What we should be doing now is concentrating. We can trade amongst ourselves. We need to build our home base. All you get is briefcase buccaneers. Come and swipe whatever they can swipe. You're trying to bring your currency down so that you can bring in foreign investors. I don't think that's the way it works, but I'm not an economist. So I'm just giving my opinion. Remember that I tell you that I am not always right. These programs that we do are just to stimulate your thinking. But my thinking tells me that I'd rather concentrate on, supplying the basics that make people thrive better light. What, especially light. Okay, now there's no light. You want to bring foreign investors, your barbers, your vulcanizers, all these people, they can't operate. You say you are bringing in foreign investors. How many of them will come? I don't remember who I saw it. I think it was, okay, so maybe it was who said that. Look, you take care of your home first. The foreign investors will come on their own. The world is a global village. Okay, so this one that we went, India and United Nations, how many foreign investors did we see? What we got, we are not even sure now. The credibility of what we were told, we need to question it. Because the one from UAE, we got a completely wrong thing. It's a pity. It's not because, ab initio, I didn't support who the party put forward. And it wasn't a matter of support. I did an analysis and I said to myself, if this man is in the driver's seat, we are not going anywhere. Time will come. The next 4 weeks or so are going to be very, very, they'll be exciting for those of us in the news area, but they could be traumatic for us as a country. Just wait and see. It's a pity. It's a pity. Maybe it's a cleansing process for us. After we've suffered up to a point, we will learn our lessons. And then that phrase that I love so much will prop up. Never again. You know, when the people are determined and they all say never again, it means that they've learned a lesson. Okay, 9:51. I got to wrap up because What's Up Lagos will be coming in the next 2-3 minutes. It's been exciting talking to you. Loads of responses. My phone, it keeps, I usually keep my phone on. And it's always on my back. It's been vibrating all the people sending in. Look at the calls are all coming in. We'll most likely do this again, okay, in the near future. Who knows? We might jolly well do it next week. Tomorrow I have a very young lady. She's just about 21. Tomorrow is like Youth Day, okay? And she'll be here. And I haven't wrapped up properly what we're going to do on Saturday. But it'll be something exciting. You can trust me on that. So I'd like to thank you all for listening. Lizzie, thank you very, very much for being here.
You're welcome.
How is the dickiness?
She's fine.
Do you tell her that I'm always asking of her?
She listens.
She now listens.
Yes.
By Mickey Dickiness. They should be praying for us. But tell the dickiness is not just prayer. Our pastors and so on and so forth should be telling us realistic things. They shouldn't be telling us. When we are praying for our leaders, we should first of all pray in the first instance for God to give us a good leader before you can pray for a good leader, before you can pray for a leader. Tell the deaconess that. True. It's very, very important.
I will relay the message.
Well, our pastors, some of them have fallen our hand, in the path along to where it will be good. God told me this, God told me that. We need to inspire our people, tell them the truth. Those of them who are not that knowledgeable. And let people have an open mind. I think I should say Kadashos.
Mm-hmm.
If I become a pastor, it will be the yayad. In waiting, because you are too young to be yayad. You'll be there in waiting till we have.